need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Dumbass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find and they're telling the stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Oh, it's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Yeah, yeah, it's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Toaster for my love, thank God, Toaster.
Hello, welcome back. This isn't the first time I've started this episode. I screwed up just now, and I'm thrilled to say that my wife, Beth, who joins me once again for another episode of Toasted, it's the happiest I've seen you.
It was so unprofessional.
Do you want to say what I did?
You just random word salad, really.
I said hello and welcome because. I don't think there's a weird way to start. Hello and welcome because it's rare for me to hit a word that absolutely... There's nothing on the other side of that.
It's a high point of my day.
We're back doing Toasted again. It's Tom and Beth here. And also, it's not just the two of us. You might be able to hear noises off because we've got both of our dogs with us. I currently have our black dog, Peggy, who is just sort of standing looking worried at me. There you go. There's a nice noise. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And then that's Phoebe, the other dog.
She's having a go at herself.
She's just had a good old chomp on her bits. You don't need to know about this. All you need to know is what we do every other week, well-ish, is instead of having a guest on, Beth and I sit here and we go over the previous episode. Shall I close the window? Because that's now the builders. You can hear the builders. Yeah. Hang on 1 second. Sorry. But today, hang on. Wait there. That should really solve that problem. But today we're going to talk about two episodes because we haven't been regularly doing this recently. Beth, do you want to apologise? Your lack of availability?
Was it?
Not really, no.
I think it was your lack of organisation.
That seems much more feasible. We haven't done it recently. So we've had loads of great episodes recently. And thank you for all your comments and interactions. It's really important. And it's lovely to see when we get emails. And it's great also on our socials as well when people jump in and say nice things. Most of which, by the way, on Nikki Chapman. She will be part two of today's show. On Nikki Chapman's socials, she is huge on Facebook. And there's just loads of comments on there. But I can't trawl through all of them. There's too many.
Well, I haven't seen those. Am I on the back foot?
With the comment, no, it's fine, don't worry. You're always on the back foot. Anyway, look, let's dive into the Charlie Higson episode, which was a few weeks ago now. And the first thing to say is there's going to be lots of lovely links attached to this episode in the episode description where you can go and investigate a lot of the things that Charlie talked about. The actual items, actual purchasable items, because the thing that Charlie loved most of all was books, didn't you think?
It was a very erudite episode.
Yeah, well, apart from the porn book he bought.
Yeah.
Thingies. Big old Big Bang.
For research.
Research.
In inverted commas.
He was totally... He didn't flinch when I got to it.
He never wrote the porn book.
No, he didn't. He didn't... Well, so he says.
I mean, do you think he wrote it under a pen name and he's never going to reveal that?
A penis name. Yes, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Have you ever... As a writer yourself, have you ever considered writing grot?
Well, I mean... There's explicit sex in great literature. And then there's, you know, smutty stuff. And then there's spice. And then there's cozy kink.
What's cozy kink?
Cozy kink is where it's like a really cozy book, but then there's explicit sex on top.
Oh, wow.
Cozy kink.
Like you're watching an episode of Miss Marple.
And yes.
And then suddenly a gangbang breaks out.
They go at it.
Oh, dear. What are you doing over there?
Naughty.
That's interesting.
So there's like lots of different ways that you could write sex. And it's a really intriguing idea as a writer because it's hard to write a sexy scene and make it sexy.
Well,
I think
Charlie,
it's real skill.
Alluded to, essentially, the same thing happens every time. It has the same end point.
Well,
they're doing the same things.
I don't know.
He seemed to suggest it was difficult. He obviously tried. We actually had an email about this from someone called James, who surprisingly didn't want to stay anonymous. Accidental bestseller. He says, hi, both. Being included there. Charlie mentioning self-publishing on Kindle reminded me of lockdown when I decided I'd write one of those steamy romance books because apparently they're easy money. This is why people get into literature, isn't it? Is that why you wrote...
Because it's easy money.
Is that why you wrote Saving Missy?
Because it was because writers money. Famously earn so much money.
Yeah, exactly so. We'll get on to money in a second, by the way.
Oh, three, yes, Charlie Higson, yes.
Three chapters in, I'd run out of euphemisms. So every other sentence was his smouldering gaze and her heaving bosom. It was dreadful. The worst bit, I exported the first draft as a PDF to ask my wife what she thought. And then I accidentally sent it to the extended family WhatsApp instead.
Wow.
My mum replied, well, this is different. My father simply sent a thumbs up. We have never spoken about it again. Thank you, James. Thank you for taking us
through
your...
I'd read that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I wish I was on that WhatsApp group. Charlie Higson, and by the way, tom@toasterpod.com, drop your emails in, please. Charlie
and
Higson,
your porn.
And your porn, please. Please don't send your porn. That's, no. That's a dangerous request. Yes, Charlie talked about money, quite frankly. Did you find it interesting when he was talking about having £1 million?
£1 million
in his bank account.
Yeah, it was really good and interesting. People don't, well, I suppose people don't talk about money that frankly. And there's probably a very good reason for it. And particularly people in showbiz don't talk about it that frankly because they tend to earn a lot of money.
Yes.
And it's a bit embarrassing to admit it. So it was quite refreshing.
Would you like to know some of the stuff I cut out of Charlie Higson's episode?
Well, presumably cut it out because it was a bit delicate. So
well,
what?
Yeah, no, the stuff I cut out was he talked at length. And I was on here. I got where he was coming from, but I thought it might sound a bit like tiny violins. Because he was talking about how much his place in Italy cost loads. Of, he did a bit.
It was a money pit, clearly.
I left a bit of it in the episode, so you can hear that narrative. But he did a lot of that because he was in. Yeah, he was talking about it. And he was pained because he spent so much bloody money on this place.
Did he say how much he'd spent?
It's a lot. No, he didn't. No, I didn't.
I bet
no,
it's really, I bet it's nice.
If he put a number on it, I'd have left it in. But it is very tiny violins. But he clearly had a load of money. He bought this fascinating place in Italy and... He has continued to throw money at it ever since.
So the £1 million is no more.
Well, as he says on the thing, he spent, you know, all go. If you get it in one big fat hit like that, it just all goes on tax. You
yeah.
get taxed
yeah.
massively. And then, you know, it's, I mean, again, tiny violins. So anyway, the stuff I loved about Charlie, talking about books, he's brilliant on things like Elmore Leonard. You can get a link to that in today's episode if you're into your westerns. There's loads of good book recommendations, and of course Charlie's Amazon page is there's a link to that as well. The other thing that Charlie lent into, which I enjoyed, was buying cheap stuff on Amazon and then being baffled when it goes wrong.
That was very relatable.
That was very, very relatable indeed. We actually had an email on this very topic because you're a fan of doing that, right?
Oh, I'm terrible, terrible. Yeah. I'm currently considering whether to buy a bathroom cabinet on Amazon. I found one that's got really good reviews and I think is a decent price. But then there's part of me thinking, am I just buying crap on Amazon that I should go and buy really expensively elsewhere?
Let's think about this. What I obviously, you have sent me a link to this cabinet.
Which you've ignored.
Ignored. Right. So, I did it for this show. I did it on purpose. I ignored it.
Because you knew I'd raise it.
Because I knew you would get into this. And you know, I'll put a link to the cabinet. I'll add a link to the
and
cabinet.
And then listeners can decide whether I should buy it or
yes,
not.
Yes. Yeah. That'd be really helpful. If you could. tom@toasterpod.com. If we could
you do some sort of poll.
Some sort of marital committee. But here's the question. Amazon has changed what our acceptance of a normal amount is for stuff. We all now live in this world where we're like, it's £30. Everything's £30.
Yeah.
And it's not. You have to pay lots of money for nice things. So here's the question. And it's a question I'm asking myself. What is an acceptable number for a bathroom cabinet?
Well,
I would say minimum £120.
Oh.
Well, if it's got glass and mechanisms in it, it needs to spend money on it, so it's good.
I know. And I know that that's true. And I was trying to think, I'm not going to say her name for the sake of privacy, but there's a friend of ours who likes buying really good stuff.
Yes.
And I always try to go by her mantra. Like, what would she buy?
Yes.
And then I always buy the cheapo version because
which
I can't stop myself.
And then, but this is the famous the false
and
economy.
I was thinking, what bathroom cabinet would she buy? And it was not on Amazon.
No, of course. How much gone? So I think. Yeah, I think like over £100 because, like I say, glass, metal, big chunk of business. You want it to be a nice, solid bit of kit. You want the reassuringly expensive thing, but also that will last. How much is it?
What, the one I was looking at?
Yes.
£68.
Well, that's not too bad.
It's got really good reviews. And they say, the reviews say, it seems more expensive than it is.
Ah, okay. How am I going to fit? Anyway, look, we'll get into that off.
But that is the thing about Amazon. I kind of associate it with cheapness, not necessarily quality.
Okay, well, look, let's push back a bit. What's the surprisingly cheap thing you bought on Amazon or eBay or Vinted or anywhere that you thought, oh, this shouldn't be that cheap. I shouldn't be buying a computer monitor for £28. And yet, it has lasted you and been amazing.
I just bought a wig topper.
You bloody hell, Beth. Wigs, the main topic you bring into this.
I know.
You do wild swimming wangers, and then you come and do Toasted, and all you do is talk about wigs.
I'm just obsessed with wigs, but I just bought a sort of topper that you just sit on top of your head. And it's amazing quality, and it wasn't very much money at all.
Is it real hair?
I think it might be, which grosses me out a bit, but then it's really, it feels like hair, not synthetic.
So a wig topper?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, this is quite a fun game. How much would I expect to pay for a wig topper? It has to be £20 to £30.
It was £31 with a voucher. I don't know why I had a voucher. Was random.
A wig voucher?
Yeah, I had some sort of wig voucher.
I think it's because your Amazon algorithm has recognised you spend most of your life buying wigs.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, a wig topper. Do I need to put the wig topper in the episode description so people
can It's very good.
Okay, fine, I'll add it on to my list. Add wig topper. We've got an email from Martin in Nottingham. Thank you, Martin. Don't forget, you can email the show. We love to hear from you at tom@toasterpod.com. Let us know what are the items you bought from Amazon or wherever that are cheap but have lasted. Hi, Tom and Beth. Charlie talking about buying bargain greenhouses. That's, of course.
Oh, him. Yeah.
That's how this happened.
Which just didn't ever work.
No, this is what you do. You think, you buy it on Amazon and go, oh, it's 40 quid, amazing. And part of you goes, it shouldn't be that cheap.
And
it's not going to last.
But his didn't, did it?
No, he's bought loads and they were crap. Again, whenever Charlie talked about his garden or his place in Italy, he just sort of went a bit glum. Like he's just put all his money in there. Charlie talking about buying bargain greenhouses reminded me of the time I tried to save money by buying a cordless vacuum cleaner from Amazon for $29.99.
Oh, that is cheap.
See, you're in. Actually, do you know what you are? You're nearly in the Temu bin at this stage.
Yeah.
Alarm bells have to ring at this point. I knew it was a mistake the second it arrived in a box roughly the size of a loaf of bread. It technically worked, but only if you vacuumed with the enthusiasm of someone dusting a Fabergé egg. The battery lasted 6 minutes, the suction could barely lift a Rice Krispie, and after a fortnight, it developed a fault where pressing the on button made the headlights flash. But absolutely nothing else happened. My husband still refers to it as the world's most optimistic torch. Very
nice. Yeah, that sounds about right. Just shell out, buy a shark.
Yeah. And get them on your, the super duper days when they do crazy things and everything's, a fifth the normal price. Or don't buy things online. Go and buy things in the flesh. Elsewhere then, before we finish on Charlie, we're going to have a break in a second and then we'll be back for some Nicky Chapman. Young James Bond, we should talk about that as well. That was really, really interesting. The stuff that Charlie was saying about picking up on the legacy of another writer and having the estate allow him access to James Bond. I thought he was so much more laid back about that than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, that struck me too, that it is massive. James Bond, massive.
Massive.
The literary legacy of it.
Yes.
Being asked to do it.
Yes.
I just don't know how, I mean, like he obviously can and did step up to it, but I don't know why he wasn't more intimidated by
and
that.
And continues to do so. He's got the next book is coming out this year, a bit later on this year, called King Zero. And again, there's a link to that, affiliate link, on the episode description. But he wrote all those zombie books, which our eldest son loved reading one of, which for him is a lot.
Oh, yeah, he loved them.
He really loved those.
So. Was there a discussion about fight sequences as well, writing fight sequences?
Yeah, because I think we may have made a comparison between a fight sequence and a love sequence.
Yes, that there are only a certain number of ways that a fight can play out, which made me think of Lee Child, because there are so many fight sequences in Jack Reacher and he does them really well.
Lee Child, hot take here, is it's porn, but instead of sex, it's a fight.
Yeah.
And the whole book is basically edging, which is a very modern term, which I only discovered.
What does edging mean? Is this something that our son has taught you?
No, it is definitely not.
what does edging mean?
Oh, God. I can't, even though...
You've started this.
Even though
this.
You are my wife.
He's not looking at me.
I find it awkward to explain what edging is. Edging is, the act of, how can I say this, prolonging an intimate moment.
All right.
Over a long time. We're talking
like tantric.
Yes, but yes, we're talking. Oh, you're on the edge, right? You're on the cusp.
So what you're saying is Jack Reacher is tantric fighting.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Lee Child always said, write the first thing slow and the slow things first.
Yes.
So would that does hold?
Sound a bit sexy when you put it like that.
Well, his fight scenes are sexy.
But Charlie Hickson, yeah, you're right. He did talk about the fight scene and the best way to approach it. And he's done a lot. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, because I've thought that the challenge of writing a sex scene would be really, really interesting. But I've never thought about writing a fight scene.
Have you never written a fight scene?
No.
In your
case. Well, I mean, I don't write those kind of books. Why would I have a fight? It makes me now want to go and write a fight.
Yes, yes. Will you do that for us?
Yes.
And then we'll all read that when it eventually gets published. The thing about publishing is if you get it commissioned, you won't see it for 4 years. But when it does come out, we'll all celebrate that it came about.
Originated here.
Exactly. The OG here on Toasted. All right. Well, the Charlie Hickson episode in full, of course, is available for your viewing pleasure on YouTube and all that, those bits and bobs. We'll take a moment and then we'll be back. And then we're going to dive into the Nikki Chapman episode. Stand by, please. Oh, mama made me butter toaster. Riding online shops just like a roller coaster. Oh, don't it feel so fine when you're buying all of these strange things online, like books, weight sets, and posters. Come on here, the best of the best of my mate bought a toaster. Hello, welcome back to Toasted, part two with myself and Beth talking about My Mate Bought a Toaster with Nikki Chapman, who, first and foremost, I love.
She's so nice. I just wanted to go and have a margarita with her.
She'd be up for that.
Yeah. We just do really good gossip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does fantastic gossip. And there's loads of stuff in her book. In fact, she's written a memoir of her time as the PR of the Spice Girls. But the other day we were at work, and because Nikki does Mellow Magic after my radio show, and Simon Mayo does Greatest Hits Radio. He does Drive on Greatest Hits Radio, which is at the same company as Magic, where I do my show. And after we finish our shows, and there's a moment where Simon and I are leaving, Nikki's about to go on air, and we all have a gossip every day.
That should be like an extra little radio show.
I swear to you, I sat there the other day, because Mayo was my breakfast presenter as a kid, listening to Radio 1, Simon Mayo.
Yeah, right? Me too.
He's the guy. Also, actually, a fantastic writer, very successful career as a writer. And to sit there the other day with Mayo and Chappers gossiping about Radio 1 in the 90s and telling stories about a certain presenter telling a certain pop group to get the F back on Live and Kicking. You can work it out if you want to. You can do the maths. But it was amazing. There was a moment when a certain pop group, who Nikki's very much associated with, were about to go on Radio 1, and a certain presenter who was on a big show at Radio 1, he shortly left because he couldn't get Fridays off. I think you can work out who it is, said to them, go away, or some similar words, go away and get back on Live and Kicking. And we're sitting there like a tennis match.
Did Nikki say what she did at the time? Did she, like, have a go?
Super calm. He's having a bad day. That's what she does.
She does come across as very calm.
Very, very calm.
But
very
she
cool.
said she was Mrs. Average. Or, you know, she said that BBC person told her that she was Mrs. Average.
Yeah, but she's not average.
No, exactly. That's what struck me. Yeah. I think, you know, she comes across as, considering who she's worked with and the sort of glamour of her life, she comes across as pretty normal, quite impressively so, but not average.
She's dead. She's obviously, goes without saying, super clever.
And, yeah.
You know, so, for example, we've been doing the socials for this. Like, she's been publishing the socials on her socials on Facebook because she's got a huge following there. And she's been telling me how she wants it to look.
Really?
Yeah, she's been telling
me. She's really across everything.
Absolutely. Like, what time it has to go out and what it should say. And she's you know, it's not a huge surprise. Listen, we should talk about the subjects that came up for Nikki Chapman. The first one that I want to talk about is London by Edward Rutherford. Huge book. And Nikki, again, talking about being Miss Average, I think the fact that she considers herself to have not done lots of formal education, so she considers herself to be not well-educated. I don't agree with that because she knows loads. But talking about books like Edward Rutherford's London, which is a huge tome, you can get it on Kindle. There's a link attached to this episode, which is an affiliate link. So we get 5%, just so you know, you have to know that. It's only $2.99. It's a massive book. It's a good holiday read. But she was very passionate about this idea of reading those big books where you learn stuff along the way.
Yes. And she's had like a kind of informal education, clearly.
Yes.
And I love all that stuff, the historical stuff. You know, you were talking about Ken Follett and C.J. Sansom, where you're in the world.
Yes.
So viscerally.
Yes.
And that was really lovely to hear her talk about it because, you know, you might assume, and you would be wrong, that somebody who left school at 16 wouldn't be interested in that side of things. And yes, she clearly is.
Yeah.
But it's a real shame that she can't read anymore.
Yeah, that's after the brain tumor. She, she can, she just can't concentrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord knows we all have that kind of problem.
Yeah, that's true.
In the current climate. But
she's very frank about that. And yeah, again, very interesting on the brain tumor stuff and how lucky she's been and the guy,
yeah.
You know.
Well, as she said, yeah, you don't question it, do you? She's just glad to be here. But it is a shame for her, given that this was a love of hers.
Yes.
And she now can't indulge in it in the way that she used to.
But again, what's so impressive about her is very accepting about all this sort of stuff. And that's like, that's where I am. This is what the situation is. Very practical.
Yeah. She gives the impression of someone who's kind of enjoying whatever comes her way and likes the novelty of things.
Yeah, that's 100% it. We're talking about historical fiction, right? Because we're talking about like, you Ken Follett and all that sort of stuff. If you were to write historical fiction, which era would you go to, please?
Oh, good question. Probably Tudor, because as a child, I was absolutely obsessed with Elizabeth I.
Fair, fair.
So I know a fair amount about it.
A Philippa Gregory vibe. Is that where she was? Is she?
Yeah, Philippa Gregory. I mean, I can't say Hilary Mantel because that just is embarrassing. But
why? Because you can't say that.
Because
that
she's so
fiction. Amazing.
You know,
yes, but it's still historical fiction.
Well, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And C.J. Sansom. Love C.J. Sansom.
If you haven't read the C.J. Sansom books, oh, I'm going to have to put a link up now. You have to read the C.J. Sansom books.
They are amazing. They're murder mysteries set in the Tudor period. Oh. But I've always said you could take out the murder and I would still read the book because it's like stuff like he's a lawyer. So it's about like Tudor, admin and bureaucracy and them going around to each other's houses for dinner and bickering over some land.
It is
amazing.
And if you haven't read them, then I am jealous of you because you get... And he sort of, C.J. Sansom sort of, he created... And the fascinating thing about C.J. Sansom, he, as a person, very publicity shy, didn't want to do silly podcasts like this. Didn't want to do any of that nonsense.
No.
He wanted to be left alone to get on with writing his books.
Mm.
Total immersion in his topic. And very sadly died far too young. Had, I'm sure, plenty more books in him.
Yeah.
But he sort of defined that genre of book. You know, the C.J. Sansom... There is a sort of brand around it, isn't there? Like a not medieval, but that era of history. It feels like there's another one. There's a few as well. Often they use a middle initial, and they all came along after C.J. Sansom.
I'm struggling to sort of define it, but there's something every day about it. Like it just makes them seem normal.
Yes, exactly.
In a way that makes them seem like us.
And it's instant time travel.
Yes.
And they don't say, I was on my old horse on the old bridge.
No.
And I could smell the sewers. It's not like that. It's so beautifully, subtly done.
But there are people who ignore the period entirely. It's just like a given. But he didn't. He sort of, it's all there.
Yeah.
But not in a way that's difficult to trawl through.
Doesn't get in the way.
No.
It doesn't get in the way. I would say about Hilary Mantel, if you've not read any of those, is the second one Bringing Up the Bodies?
Bring Up the Bodies is the second.
That's the best one.
Is it?
Yes. Yes, that's the most readable. The first one's impenetrable. It just goes on for decades.
Wolf Hall. I loved Wolf Hall.
Wolf Hall took me 10
that's
years
That's the only one I've read. I haven't read the other two. You know why?
Because they're so long? Oh, because we had kids.
Because I was reading Bring Up the Bodies when I gave birth. So I literally brought up a body myself. And I couldn't go back to it. And I never did.
Horrible turn of phrase.
I know, but... really
all right,
me off.
Let's move on to barbecues. Quite a lot of controversy around this, and I know that you're going to have a hot, you're welcome, take on this. Because Nikki used barbecue trays on her barbecue. There's a link to those barbecue trays. You should probably buy them if that's what you're into. Or if you're on Team Tom, you just roast off all the badness. You put the heat on the barbecue, the heat gets rid of all the poison, and then you can barbecue again. Beth is looking at me.
So let's destroy this notion once and for all. Team Nikki because she's right. And I can prove it by saying we have two barbecues currently in our garden that are used as planters. Because
why does that prove anything?
We left them.
Yeah.
We didn't wash the grills.
Yeah.
And when we returned to them, they were A, absolutely disgusting. I mean, you wouldn't cook food for a dog on them. And secondly, they were full of spiders that were actually deadly. So now we use them as planters.
You
have to wash them.
You are hitting, if you talk about wigs in this sentence, that's all three of your topics. Insects, food hygiene, and wigs. If you brought wigs into it. Can I say something to you? If we went outside now and I moved all the plant stuff out, because we've used this old barbecue as a sort of, it's got plants on it now.
It's got a rose bush in it.
It's like an old cast iron barbecue thing. Mm. If we took all those out, I would be more than happy to put coals in there, roast it all off. Sorry to the spiders listening. Put enough heat on that iron, perfectly safe.
Again, I'm with Nikki. I don't want to eat round at yours.
I think this is all just psychosomatic. What's your take on this, please? The barbecue hygiene. Get involved, tom@toastpod.com.
If you want to buy me a green egg, though, or whatever it's called, they're really good. They're supposed to be really good.
Ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, I don't think we've got space in the garden for one either.
We have a barbecue once a year.
So if you want to buy me a new house with a bigger garden,
yep,
and then a green egg, that's okay.
Yeah, well, this toasted spin-off is making us quite a lot of money. So, dear Tom and Beth, the barbecue discussion caused absolute carnage in our house. I am firmly in Tom's camp of burn it clean and carry on. You're not going to believe this. It's a man writing this, which does make me suspect we found a new gender divide here. My wife insists on scrubbing every inch until it looks like it belongs in an operating theatre. Exactly. Last weekend, she spent longer cleaning the barbecue than I spent cooking on it. Surely if the flames are hot enough to cook a chicken, they're hot enough to deal with yesterday's sausages. Please settle this before one of us files for divorce. Dave, I'm afraid we're going to have to go halves on a divorce lawyer because I can't.
The trouble is I don't want to clean the grill either. So we tend to just use the barbecues once and then that's it, because neither of us can be asked to clean the grill.
Which is lazy.
What we need, in the same way that Nikki has the fish man,
which is a barbecue man,
I'm kind of grossed out by, a barbecue man who just comes around to clean the barbecue.
That could be when the whole radio podcasting business falls apart, I could be Tom the barbecue man.
Yeah, except now everyone knows that you don't like cleaning barbecues and don't think it's necessary.
I would literally go around and if it was just a man, I'd say,
give it a sniff.
Just give it, yeah.
It's all right.
Sniff test on barbecues. I'll go one step further. Quick taste test. Pick off a bit of old last year's summer fat. We've put a link to the Sizzle Buddy barbecue brush. That's what you need. It's a nice metal brush.
Can you buy green eggs on Amazon?
Yeah, do you want to see how much it is?
I bet they're a lot.
Okay, here we go. Green egg barbecue. Ready?
Yeah.
No, there's sort of... there you go, yeah. There's a, I mean, I'll...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Who has ever spent £850 on a barbecue?
Yeah.
If you have, tom@toasterpod.com, give me your reasoning, please. Because everyone who's got one says, oh, they're amazing. And then finally, the final thing I want to talk about, and Pete has sent an email, and all men emailing us this week. Hi, Tom and Beth. Nikki's fish tank in the downstairs loo reminded me of my uncle, who built an enormous tropical fish tank into the wall of his living room. It looked spectacular. Until you tried to watch TV. Every conversation went, sorry, what did you say? Nothing, I'm watching the angelfish. Nobody could concentrate on anything else. Christmas Day looked less like a family gathering and more like we'd all paid £18 to visit sea life. I love that.
I was quite grossed out by the fish tank in the toilet.
Yes.
It just was a weird notion to me. I mean, I don't like fish tanks anyway, because when I was younger, I used to have a succession of fish.
Yeah.
And the cleaning out of the tank was so grim.
Why?
Because everything gets covered in slime. It's really horrible to clean out a fish tank.
Right.
And then you're adding the fact that it's in a toilet.
That
just really grosses me out.
Convenient, you know, literally while you're there.
Well, she was saying that the idea that you flush the toilet and all the fish go down, that's really funny.
I'm reminded of fish tanks. The thing I think of when I think of fish tanks is doctor surgeries in the 80s. I've got a theory that all doctor surgeries in the 80s had a fish tank in, because I really remember looking at that when I was a kid.
No, I once worked in a TV company where the boss had a fish tank table.
Oh.
So like a kind of low coffee table. that was a fish tank.
Is it a bit, and I don't mean, I'm not pointing this comment at Nikki, is it a bit of a display of wealth for some people?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's a talking point, like a corporate. Yes. It's a corporate talking point. Maybe.
Yes, but it is quite relaxing to watch them. It's quite.
Yeah, but well, for men, if you're staring at it while you wee, but the women wouldn't see it because they'd have their backs to it.
It would also worry me that men in a cloakroom. We've got a cloakroom. We have an understairs toilet, and now because of Chappers, I'm going to call it the cloakroom.
The cloakroom.
Men in a cloakroom, standing and staring at the fish. It's a disaster for accuracy.
Yes.
I should have raised
this. She's inviting.
You're asking people to pee everywhere.
Yeah.
I think you've got to, you know, a man in a cloakroom of another's house, you've got to have a long, hard look at the sit-down wee option.
And then you wouldn't see the fish.
You could imagine them. You get a mirror, like a wing mirror on a car. You could see them looking at
the shoulder. Yeah, that's what she needs, a mirror opposite so that you can see in the background.
All right, good. So there we are then. Nikki Chapman and her cloakroom fish. Thank you very much for listening. Beth and I will be back again soon with another one of these. Any questions, any topics, tom@toasterpod.com. If some women could email in next time, that would be ideal. Also, there's something I need to tell you.
Is it about open relationships?
No. No, that I'm keeping that stuff a secret. Toby Tarrant. Oh, yeah, because that was at the end of the episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I thought there must be some sort of correlation between you talking about open relationships and you talking about having met Melanie C and falling apart.
Yes, she's now sadly got married. So that open relationship.
Another one bites the dust.
I know, it's a shame. No, what I was going to talk about was next week's episode is with broadcaster and now stand-up comedian. He is at the Edinburgh Festival, in fact, Toby Tarrant. He's fantastically funny. If you're going up to Edinburgh, definitely go and see his show. Toby Tarrant is at Edinburgh. Toby is next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
He has bought the single best item I've ever seen in the history of my makeboard toaster.
Exciting.
Intrigued?
Yes.
Good. So I'll be back with Toby next week and then with Beth Murray the week after. Beth Murray, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. See you next time. Goodbye.
It's my made water toaster. Oh, it's my made.